All right, let's get back to work in our look at the basics of a Christian lifestyle, the sermon series that we're in these days. You could make an argument that today's topic isn't one of these basics of a Christian lifestyle, but I believe you also could make an argument that it is, and I'm going with that one, okay? I want to set this up for you a bit by taking you back to a biblical principle we looked at a couple of Sundays ago in my sermon on God's call for us to live healthy lives. In that sermon, we ran things like tobacco and alcohol, eating and exercise, etc., through two tests. We asked how those things stand up to test number one, the Bible's call for us to live sober lives. And then also test number two, the Bible's call for us to be good stewards of the things God has gifted to us. And it's that second test, that second biblical principle, I want to get back into your minds right now. So we looked in that sermon at two passages to back up this idea that God asks us to be good managers or good stewards of the blessings he gives to us. The first was from Genesis 2, verse 15, back to Adam and Eve, back to their day, and actually this verse comes slightly before Eve's day even. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." To work it and take care of it. And I said that morning that many people have seen in this passage, and I believe they're correct, that part of what humanity was tasked with by God from the beginning was to take care of his creation, the world and everything in it. We're to rule over the earth and subdue it. That's Genesis chapter 1, and we are to take care of it, Genesis chapter 2. God's put us in charge of being managers of his good creation, good stewards. We also looked in that sermon at a parable from Jesus in Matthew 25 where a master, master would represent God, decides to go away on a lengthy trip, and he puts three of his servants, we would be the servants, in charge of watching over his money. Two of the servants go on to invest the money that the master gave to them, and they grew their master's wealth through that while he was away. The third servant, you may recall, dug a hole in the ground and plopped the money in there. And now, you know, I don't know that we would think that third servant had done anything real terrible in that. But when the master returns, in Jesus' story, he is livid at that third servant. And he rewards the two who invested his money and multiplied it. And the point is, that the third servant hadn't wisely used the money he had been made manager over while the other two had. And from that story comes the principle of good stewardship. And again, we see there that human beings are asked to take care of, to manage wisely the things we've been given by God to manage. And then we went on in that sermon to talk about how our bodies are certainly one of the most important things God has given us to manage and to be good stewards of, so we ought to treat them well with healthy living. Well, I want to do more with this principle of good stewardship today. And in fact, I've already been commenting a bit about what our topic is for the morning. Genesis 2, human beings have been tasked by God with taking care of God's creation. The basic of Christian living I want us to think through today is this idea that human beings are responsible to take care of the earth. We're to be good stewards of it. Now, immediately, some of your minds will go to the thought that I'm about to advance some liberal political view on you here. And, I guess that's just a sign of the divisive times that we live in these days. I am extremely interested in not having this be a political sermon in any way, shape, or form. As in all things, I try to draw the points of my sermons and the convictions I live by in my life out of the Bible, not out of a Democratic or Republican platform. So I will make my case here from the Bible, and you can assess it and decide at the end if I've been successful or not. To make my case today, I'm going to be substantially reliant on a writing from a pastor in Ohio, pastor of a vineyard church there named David Deyani. And in fact, the busier that this last week became for me, and we've been discussing some of the reasons for my busyness, the more reliant I became on this man's writing. I'm going to present to you today Pastor Diani's main points from a writing he did on Christians and the environment, although I'll be adding in my two cents along the way and mixing in some thoughts from other authors and pastors as well. Now, before we get into it, I want to tell you where this guy is coming from, this Pastor Diani. He does say some things in ways that I wouldn't in this writing of his. It's actually easier to show you than tell you where he's coming from. So here is his opening paragraph. He writes, "Since the 1960s, there has been a lot of controversy about man's relationship to the environment and nature. A movement has developed that seeks to place the value of the environment above the needs of man. Many refer to this movement as environmentalism, or some of you might be more familiar with the term tree huggers. I realize there's a lot of variety in this movement, from the environmental terrorists to conservationists who seek to preserve wilderness areas. But I believe most environmentalists hold to similar core values. This environmental movement is primarily a reaction to businesses that have exploited the environment for man's greedy and materialistic pursuits by clear-cutting entire forests without any effort at replanting or any care for the damage to wildlife, or to dumping waste in our rivers, streams, and lakes, to strip mining mountains and leaving the remains without any concern for soil erosion or releasing toxic fumes into our atmosphere. There are some things being done to our environment that ought to get people upset," he says. Okay, well, if you go back to his opening sentences they likely will have communicated at least some of Pastor Diani's view of things to you. For instance, I'm actually not sure that most people who consider themselves environmentalists would say that they place the value of the environment above the needs of human beings. There would be some who would say that, but I'm not sure that most of them would say that. I think that's maybe an extreme characterization of environmentalists there from him. And then the fact, you know, that he uses the term tree huggers and environmental terrorists may also give us a few clues on some of his thinking. Although then he does go and point out that there's going to be a range of thought in the environmentalist movement, and he finished that paragraph by acknowledging that human beings have indeed done a lot of terrible things to the planet over the years. So this is the man I have chosen to guide us through today's topic, a man who pretty clearly there does not self-identify as an environmentalist. And there's another point in this writing of his where he makes clear that he's skeptical of global warming, which is an issue I'm staying away from this morning. But I just wanted you to know, before we start, a bit of where Pastor Diani is coming from. So now, let's look at what he has to say on this topic of Christians and the environment. Well, the first thing he does is point out three differences in beliefs between environmentalists and Christians who are interested in something called creation care. Maybe you've heard that term, creation care. And by the way, now, where Diani talks about environmentalists, going forward now, I'm going to say some environmentalists, again, because I think he's a little overly negative on the term, but... Well, here's the first difference that he brings out between some environmentalists and creation care Christians. He says that the first difference can be seen in how these two groups view humanity's place on the earth. He writes, "One of the problems with much of today's environmental crowd is that they believe that man is just another creature on the earth, another part of the evolutionary chain. The truth is, however, that man is not just another animal species in nature, but is a unique creature made in the image of God, crowned with glory and majesty. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, we read, 'Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" That passage tells us, Deani writes, that men and women are different from all the rest of creation. Man is the pinnacle of creation, he says, the head of creation. Only one of God's creation is made in God's image, and that is humankind. And all animal life is under humanity's rulership. He brings up another Bible passage that asserts this truth as well. Psalm 8:4-9, where King David writes, "What is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So humans are more than just another creature on the planet, equal with, you know, deer or wolf or hawk. We're more than that. And that is a point well made by David Deani. Next point. Deani says another difference between some of today's environmentalists and those who believe in creation care is their view on killing animals. He says some environmentalists feel that humans have no right to kill animals and eat them, but God's word tells us clearly that animals are okay to be eaten as food for man. Here's Genesis 9:3. After the flood, God tells Noah, "Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants before, I now give you everything." So while there are some indications that God didn't originally intend the killing and eating of animals, in the original creation story, only plants were given for food. After sin and after the flood, God pronounced eating animals okay. On to Deani's third difference. He says the third difference between some environmentalists and those who believe in creation care is what impact man is having on the environment. And he writes, "Many environmentalists believe that man is the cause of all our environmental problems, and they believe that if man would stop interfering with nature, everything would be beautiful and the world would take care of itself. However, if we read Genesis 3, we know that this earth is cursed." Let's read Genesis 3 then. Here's verses 17 and 19. "To Adam, God said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you'll eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.'" So this decision to sin had a major effect, not just on humanity, but on all of creation. And so, I guess the fact that the earth is messed up is all due to human beings. However, the main reason that it's messed up is the original decision of humans to sin. That's what got the earth cursed. And so this thought that nature would somehow move into a situation of full peace and harmony if human beings ceased to exist on the planet is not a correct thought. Pastor Deani says, "Even if mankind were taken off this earth, we would still have storms, earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes, weeds, thorns, spiders, animals that kill each other, poison plants, snakes. We'd still have electric storms that would burn down thousands of acres of forest. We would still have soil erosion. Mankind is not the cause of all of nature's problems." And then, he goes on to cite passages like Hebrews 1:11-12 and 2 Peter 3, Book of Revelation, which tell us that this earth is bound for destruction and a new earth is coming. So, while Pastor Deani admits that man in his greed and recklessness has surely contributed to many of the environmental problems we face today, he still asserts that there is no place on earth that will ever be an actual paradise until Jesus returns and makes all things right. Okay. Well, after his critique of the views of some environmentalists, Deani asks next, so what is the Christian responsibility to our environment? And his answer begins by taking us back to the Bible verse that we started with today, Genesis 2:15. And he says, we are to take care of creation. The original assignment given to Adam still applies to us today. He then brings us to the other end of the Bible in a passage in Revelation chapter 11, which says this, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you've taken your great power and you've begun to reign. The nations were angry and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small. And for destroying those who destroy the earth. It says there that God is going to bring judgment upon those who destroy the earth in the last days. So God cares about his creation, unsurprisingly. So Pastor Diani says, we need to be careful that we're not abusing our environment. We need to be more conscientious of our consumer mentality and our continual desire for more and a lifestyle that promotes destruction of our environment. We don't need to become environmental terrorists or fanatics, but we should be more conscientious about our use of the environment and more aware of what kind of carbon footprint we're leaving. Man's rule and dominion over the earth is that of a steward or a caretaker, not a reckless exploiter. So that's his conclusion. Take care of the environment. Another pastor, Pastor Stephen Grant, says, do that and do it for God. He says that our acts of protecting God's creation are actually acts of worship to the Creator. Old Testament scholar Christopher Wright says, you know, if the greatest commandment is that we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, surely that implies that we should treat what belongs to God with honor, care, and respect. And then, don't just do it for God, says Pastor Grant. Do it for us. Don't forget that we kind of need this planet to be working pretty well, right? To be working as properly as we can get it working. And don't just do it for us, he says. Do it for our children and our grandchildren, for obvious reasons. And then he says, don't just do it for our children or our grandchildren, but take care of God's creation just for creation's sake. This world isn't only a place for us to live in. This world reveals God to us. I'll get another author weighing in here now. Jim Nicoderm says, if you run into a person who's skeptical about God, point them to God's creation. And then ask them, do these things look like the product of random chance to you? An artist is known by his paintings. God is known by his creation. So, you know, sometimes Harlow and Dan and Anna have pictures behind their song lyrics on the slides that we look at during worship. And what are those pictures of? Snow-covered mountains, right? Sparkling rivers, colorful wildlife, gorgeous sunsets. And again, Jim Nicoderm asks, why don't the people who set up these slides for us use pictures of jumbo jets and NFL game highlights or massive outlet malls? The reason is because creation reveals God to us. So take care of creation. Do it for God. Do it for us. Do it for our children and grandchildren. Do it just for the sake of creation itself, this marvelous universe God has made. Well, all of the pastors and authors I read this week, included some practical tips for us to become better managers of the creation God has put us in charge of. And I'll just flip through them quick. Don't litter. In fact, pick up other people's litter. Recycle, compost, you know, all these things. One of them said we should cut those little plastic rings that go around the, you know, cans and water bottles so that they don't entrap animals later on as they're flying around town in the ever-present Madison wind. Plant a tree was on the list. Did you know that one mature leafy tree produces as much clean oxygen in one season as 10 people inhale in a full year? Plus, they clean carbon out of the air. There was a suggestion to get involved in community programs that work on nature restoration projects. And when I read that, I thought, well, maybe there's your community thing to get involved in that we've been talking about. Maybe some of you can go help out the environment and potentially meet some people that need to know Jesus better while you're at it. And then there was just the call to consume less, to consume less. Check these stats out. Something called an energy audit was done, and it compared the it was comparing the amounts of energy used or consumed by the average person in different countries. And then the researchers assigned a weight number to each average person to help express the differences. So the results of the audit were that the average person in China weighed 100 pounds on this energy consumption scale. The average person in Switzerland weighed 450 pounds. The average person in England, 500 pounds. Italy, 400 pounds. And then comes the average American who weighed on this hypothetical energy consumption scale, 1,000 pounds. So this would suggest that we don't need to live in the way that many of us live in our country. And then here was a one that I thought was especially challenging to me. An author that I read said, we often ask the question before making a purchase, can I afford it? That's usually our defining question. Can I afford it? But this author is suggesting that we need to move away from that question and start asking ourselves more often, should I make that purchase? Is this purchase good for God's creation, of which I am a caretaker of? That's a tough one. Anyway, consume less was the final idea on our list of practical ideas from all of these authors. Practical ideas for becoming good managers of our world. All right, before wrapping up, I just have I want to throw in one final suggestion for you on how Christ followers ought to relate to nature, one that wasn't in Pastor Diani's writing. My last suggestion for you today is enjoy it. Yeah, take care of it. But don't forget to enjoy it. So when the weather finally turns warm here, and whenever that's going to be, warm enough to actually have a warm breeze hit your face, will you take a moment or two or three or five this summer to actually enjoy that? Go take walks. Notice what God has done all around you. Don't just walk past it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the squirrels as long as they're not sucking all the seeds out of your bird feeders like they do at my house. Enjoy the squirrels doing what they do. Enjoy the trees. Enjoy the birds. Whatever else your eyes land on, study those things because they really are amazing. Unplug from the electronics and go be in nature and just listen to the soundtrack that God gave to us. Nature's enjoyable and is good for us. Susan Yates writes that often when I feel down and depleted, I run to God's creation. Taking time to study his creation has a way of filling up those places in my soul that are running on empty. She says that when she feels anxious, walking on the shore of the ocean reminds her of how big God is. And I hear him whisper, Susan, see how vast and how big I am. I've got all this stuff you're thinking about, worrying about. I've got you. It's difficult to lay aside our anxious thoughts, she says, unless we have something to replace those thoughts with. Focusing on God's creation revives us by the power of his beauty. Where do the Gospels tell us that Jesus liked to hang out? How about the Sea of Galilee and the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus felt connected to his Father out in nature. And we can connect with him there too. So don't only steward God's creation, also enjoy it and let God speak to you through it. Well, Pastor Diani concludes his writing by saying that Christians need to take creation care more seriously. We should recognize the differences between the biblical approach to creation care and the approach that some environmentalists take. But we ought to be, he says, more intentional in our efforts to tend the garden. And so in the end, Pastor Diani, this global warming skeptic and anti-environmentalist, winds up making a strong biblical case that we ought to be serious about caring for the environment and being good stewards of it. I agree with his assessment of the Bible's teaching on this topic, and in fact, I think it should be a basic part of the lifestyle we live. as Christ followers.